I think you get so many more valuable input while you're online than when you're face-to-face. I actually think that what's happened to me is I've improved my face-to-face instruction as a result of presenting synchronously online. It's almost like swinging with a weighted bat. You fear that you don't have the insight into your participants. You fear that you may not be able to connect with them, and then you are, because you look for all the different tools that you have at your disposal. Then when you return to the face-to-face environment, you miss those tools, and you look for ways for connecting with your learners. So I think it's that that real-time connection that you can have in all the different modes and the different learning styles you can tap into.
Do you think that's equally true for on the teacher training presenter side as it is on the student side?
On the teacher training? You mean for the...
Well, is it as effective for the student as it might be for the teacher? So I mean, you talked this morning about impact. Know the impact that you're having and don't just do it because you think it's a good idea and you're having fun.
Right. I think some of the evaluations that we've had in doing both face-to-face and online workshops have borne that out. And we do online conferences, multi-day events. Okay, folks online, I'm sorry we're not going to be able to adjust the audio any better for you. I'm going to do our best here. So you're on the big screen and everyone's enjoying your comments. And we're really glad you're here. And there is a local airfield. And there are lots of planes flying by, so it is a bit noisy in the actual room. So what you're hearing is an authentic experience. Thank you. It's a little better now. That's good. We'll keep trying to tweak it for you.
Now we just need a barking dog.
I think there'll be one on cue. But we are very glad you're here with us online. We're doing our best for you. But yes, I think people, we repeatedly get in our evaluations, we get people who say, I've never had more fun than I have in this online event, in this online conference. I mean, it's great to network over lunch, but why reserve it to lunch? You could be networking with each other right now if you were in a synchronous environment, and as long as you act as a good ringmaster, facilitator, and you can channel that networking, I think there's so much more value. People putting up links in real time to resources and whatnot. I'm glad you could hear the laughs, Andrea. They're not laughing at you. They were laughing at me, of course. No, just kidding. So I have a question for you, Michael.
Okay.
Along these lines. What does, and I'm going to put up on the screen, by the way, that's us again. I like that photo. I'm going to just put up, I have it here somewhere, the phone number from
that's
earlier.
Not me.
That's right. Yes, it is. You're Superman. Please text Michael and me throughout or raise your hand. We want this to be very informal, but that's my text number again, and those online are welcome to use it too or just chat right in the chat box. My question for you, Michael, is what does it feel like as a participant? You asked from the learner's perspective, but you've been in a lot of live online sessions as a participant, many, many, many countless hours. What does it feel like to you when a good online session is taking place? What does it feel like? What does it look like?
It feels good. It goes incredibly quickly. I'm always kind of an indicator of how good a session is it's over. And you weren't even aware of the fact that it was coming to a close. And that's the case with anything we do in life, but that has happened to me a number of times in good synchronous sessions. What does it look like? Lots and lots of activity. It's quite intense, so it's fun. But it's also quite intense, and my limit is about an hour. Jonathan likes to push it to an hour and a half. But after about an hour, whether I'm a student or facilitating the session, I'm mentally exhausted in a good way. I just need a break because there's a lot of changes of focus. I'll be asked to look at something on a slide. I'll be following the text chat. I'll be trying to think of my own reactions to these things. I might be asked to write on a whiteboard or participate in a text chat. Watch who's putting that. There's multiple focuses, and Jonathan mentioned this morning in his presentation about directing the attention to where it wants to go. So a skilled facilitator in this environment knows there are lots of places for people's eyes and brains to go, but you've got to direct them. But so in a nutshell, I guess, they go very quickly. They're totally engaging. They're mentally exhausting and they're mentally exhilarating. So I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do, but I think any time you come out of a learning situation, well, if you're exhausted, you're probably exhausted from one of either two reasons. It was really boring and you would drive you nuts, or it was engaging. And my typical experience in online synchronous space is totally engaged. And just a corollary to that, if I'm not, and this is, I think, worth mentioning, I'm perfectly fine if people are not there. I mean, they can hear me anyway. They can listen to what's going on, and they can be checking their email or another website. I don't mind, because there are different ways and different levels of engagement.
I'm posing that question to our online audience as well, if they would care to share some quick words or thoughts about what it means to be in a good real-time session. I've warned them to just leave the audio technical issues we just had off the table. Just think back to the best online sessions that you've had and tell us what it feels like when you're in a great live online session. And when you're done, folks online, you can give us a real-time Twitter about your mood and state of mind on the screen, which is a nice way to tap into. In a way, the synchronous environment for me is the best form of assessment. It creates an environment for the best form of assessment that I can do, at least in the work that I've been involved in. It may not be for everyone, but what better assessment when it comes to skills than seeing them performed, than seeing the delay it takes before someone responds to a question in real time or demonstrates something. I love being able to get a sense for their confidence level. Malcolm, hi Malcolm, joining us probably from Melbourne, says being actively engaged. Helen says multitasking is how many of our young people are learning today. So they have to be able to operate that way at work as well as in their personal space. Let me make the chat box a little bigger for everyone in our online audience so we can see more at once. This is great. Thank you. If I were to flip that around for you, Michael, what would you say? I agree. I'm exhausted after a good online session as a participant. How do you feel? Is it the same answer as a moderator, as a facilitator?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Totally exhausting, and time flies.
And I guess conversely, if you're not exhausted at the end of a session, does it mean it wasn't good?
If it wasn't good, I'm not typically there at the end of a session.
Good answer.
Is it time to ask people here, perhaps, if you have a comment or a question you'd like to add at this point? Annie?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting some texts, too. Yeah. And there's a roving mic. Yeah, there it is. It's roving.
So you sent a text, Annie? Jen, did you have a question, or are you texting as well?
I'm trying to
take time for You can just tell us.
And people online, anytime you have a question, thanks for your comments about what you consider to be a good online session. Instant information and answers coming from Brian Richardson.
I have a good question here that came in via text, presumably from someone in this room, but it may not be because the number went out to everyone online as well. How do you engage new online students in this manner? I think the number one thing that you can do to engage them, assuming whether you require a live online event or it's an optional event, is when people show up, you have to make it feel the way Michael did. It should be exhausting. Nobody should be questioning whether they needed to all be there at 3 o'clock Wednesday for 45 minutes together. If anyone leaves there saying, why did I have to be here at this time? Then there was a better way for you to communicate whatever you shared. It doesn't mean that the content was bad. It just means you had email options. You had the idea of posting it asynchronously. It could have been done as a discussion forum. So the new learner needs to have a good first impression. It puts a lot of pressure on you. It doesn't need to. It just means you need to think before you start the session and talk yourself out of doing it. You should try to talk yourself out of doing every live online session you do. You might have 5 reasons you shouldn't do it. All you need is 1 good reason to do it. If the reason's good enough, you'll feel the way Michael did at the end, and your participants will.
I love that phrase that you use, the synchronous compact. If you're going to organize an event online and expect or ask people to come and all be in the same online space at the same time, then you better make pretty damn sure that it's worth their while coming, because we all lead busy lives and our time's precious. So in the same way that we all expect you to come here today, we put on a show, so to speak. It's the same online. You put a lot of time and effort into it, and I think that notion of the synchronous compact is really useful there.
Yeah, it's a deal. You got to do your part, and then they'll do theirs. You have to create the space for them to do their part. It's not about us just showing up and sharing our expertise. We got to get them busy. Again, otherwise, there's another way to do it. And the text messages keep coming in. Here's one for you, Michael. I mean, it must be for you. Do you need more than one presenter because it can be so busy?
In an ideal world, yes. I'm going to take a punt on numbers, and I think I could probably successfully handle 10 people in a good, active online session on my own, maybe even 15 at a pinch, but over 15 people, The ideal is co-moderation. And those people here in this room who would have been in many of the sessions over the years, we're learning times. Jonathan, among them, was co-hosting or hosting sessions for the Australian Flexible Learning Framework, will know that they were always there in the background. There was myself, there may have been Frankie Forsyth, there was Jonathan or someone not there to handle the technical stuff. So there are obvious implications here about cost. How can you pay two teachers to be in the same place teaching 20 people where in a classroom you'd have one? It'd be one teacher, one trainer for the 20 students. So there are implications there, but better to have two people, because especially in the technical stuff, especially with a new group, you'll find that people initially will have some troubles coming in. Usually those things get ironed out after two or three sessions, but it's just great to have someone else handling the technical issues. And also, if you're, as I'm doing now, trying to maintain my thoughts while I speak to you, I'm aware that Jonathan's at the moment handling the text messages coming in, or the equivalent of the text chat. And if you've got someone else moderating the text chat, and at some point then can say, Michael, there was a good question a few minutes back about X, I don't have to plough my way back through the text chat because my co-moderator is helping me out with that. And those roles will swap around sometime too. And Jonathan, you mentioned earlier the option of sometimes giving that role to participants.
Right, absolutely. You don't have to bring your, it's not BYOF, bring your own, BYOCF, bring your own co-facilitator. Sometimes you can pull somebody out of the audience of your participants, your group, to be that person. One thing I'll do sometimes is I'll ask someone to be the voice of the web for me. I'll say, who would like to take on this role? It means you're going to be synthesizing the comments coming in, and it means that I'll periodically look to you to tell me about things I missed. It keeps that person on task. It also provides you a second net, a safety net for things you might have missed, and it involves your audience. Here's an example. This is an example of an online debate. I talked earlier this morning with the group here face-to-face about a project out of New York City where kids are preparing for debates. Here's an example where I put the topic up in the session without any preparation. Nobody knows they're about to debate, and we do a coin flip, and I find out who's going to play what side in the debate. In this case, it's which do you prefer, which makes a better pet, a pet rock or a pet cat, and off they go. And in a way, that's co-facilitation too. It's putting your participants to work and having being critical thinkers without you just laying it all out there for them. By the way, there was a question you talked about, Michael, about co-facilitators, and that might add extra cost. And somebody noted in the chat room that because there's no physical classroom, in some cases you might be saving some money and certainly saving opportunity costs, that it would take someone out of their travel office or their refrigeration shop or whatnot to come in. They're able to save all that time and all that travel. Have you found, I mean, I'm not sure if you've looked at the kinds of numbers and the groups you've been involved in, but is cost savings a primary reason?
Where you have a distributed organization, an organization with multiple sites, and typically people travel to get together every now and then for meetings and whatever, and training, or you use teleconferencing, you don't need to spend much time on the sums to know that this saves a fortune in a very short space of time. These tools, for example, Illuminate, that we're using right here now, and the rest are all much the same. They're not cheap. There are free ones coming on the market, but they come with downsides. But you very quickly recoup your costs, and I'm sure you could probably mention examples that you know about. One that comes to mind is the Customs and Excise Department in Queensland spent thousands of dollars a year bringing people all together from all over the country, and they don't anymore. They do all their annual meetings, or actually it's quarterly meetings in here, and they save a fortune, just as an example. So, I mean, so travel costs and teleconferencing, I was amazed to find out how much teleconferencing is. That's where you save your investment in two very practical ways. I'd like to just quickly, Deb Hoskins, you asked a little while back about how do you get people in here in the sense of the pedagogy, that is, how do you convince people, persuade people that it's worth coming into these environments in the first place? What's the game? Now, Deb, if you could just indicate whether or not you think your question's been answered. Some people were actually commenting about what makes a good online session, so perhaps that answers your question. Deb, if it didn't, maybe you could kind of come back to us.
And certainly if any of the folks, just as we've invited people in the room to shout out a question, if anyone online has a working mic and knows it's working, we're happy to have you raise your hand and we'll be able to hear your voice here as well, so let us know. By the way, Malcolm is using an approach that we do in our CSTP program, our Certified Synchronous Training Program that we do in partnership with Gips Tape. He's prefacing his comment with the word meta. Going back to your earlier question, about your first question about why I often like a synchronous online environment, is you can get different channels of thought happening at the same time. Malcolm is prefacing his comment with the word meta. It's like a live blogging technique. It means I don't have a specific question for you, but I'm drawing out my own little real-time blogging, my observation I have about the session. And I encourage our learners in my synchronous programs, depending on the content, to keep a running reflection, a running journal. We'll separate those out because they have a prefix in front of them. Instead of meta, meaning it's about the session, it could have the word blog or journal or idea. And at the end of the day, at the end of the session, you can scroll through and filter out and just pull all the ideas out. You can pull out all the journal entries. You can sort them by student. I can go ahead and say, show me all the things that Malcolm said, and I can see all of Malcolm's comments right there. And there are all his ideas. There are all his observations. So again, it's a really great assessment tool, but it's also a window into people's minds in real time, and you really get a sense of what they're thinking about the material.
Just following up on the assessment issue, Deb has said in here, we've started building assessments into them, which is working, you know, the good old-fashioned carrot and stick. In this case, the stick, if you don't come into the Illuminate session, we dock you 10%. I mean, that always works. It's nice to be idealistic and hope that people come in for other reasons, but it just reminds me of a situation back home in TAFE South Australia where we recently had we used Centra. Centra was all of a sudden down for a couple of days. A week before exams, students went crazy because a lot of students had become totally dependent on the recordings of live activities for revision before their exam, and they were cross. And so, Deb, you're not far away from the money, really. If you just make it... Well, I actually would be draconian, frankly. I'd say, look, this is part of the deal. And I guess this is a good time to mention, I think, what's a key point in reinforcing, and Ian more or less told us in the benchmarking survey results, it's about the appropriate blend. So it's not all or nothing. We're not doing it only this way. We're not doing it only that way. This stuff is great to complement normal classroom face-to-face teaching. It's a wonderful companion for asynchronous online stuff or just, you know, real-time synchronous on its own.
That's true. We have a question here from... Hey, Frankie, are you online right there? Do you feel more connected to the experience? Frankie says, absolutely, in practice sessions in advance too. That's right, in terms of doing practice. That's actually the advice I give to someone who says, how do I get started, is to actually be a learner in one of these events and take note of all the things you love and take note of the things that drive you crazy. Because I guarantee you, even though it's easy to complain about somebody else and saying, that drove me crazy, that was too long, that was boring, when we present, we somehow hold ourselves to a different standard, and it's like, oh, I can't possibly be boring anybody. Everyone must love what I'm saying, or I could go 12 minutes without asking a question of my audience. But if it bothered you in somebody else's session, odds are it's kind of annoying somebody in your own. So I ask people to make a little list, actual list about what they liked, and then try not to violate their own set of rules that they've created.
Nice idea. Comments from people here in Hobart? Yes. They've got the roving mic. Be great. Down the front here.
What other technologies do you use in your synchronous learning formats? We had a presenter at the Skills Translating Conference in May from Otago, New Zealand, who's a great advocate of Wikipedia, YouTube, Facebook as a space where teachers should venture into as opposed to just a classroom. And I'm just wondering whether you use those sorts of spaces and mediums to facilitate perhaps more didactic teaching sessions, which I guess you do in addition to a kind of chat session that you're having now for this purpose.
In a word, yes. And I wonder if the person you were talking to in Otago was Lee Blackall. My guess is probably was. And look, there's a number of reasons why you would go to those other freer tools, the so-called Web 2 suite of tools. Partly, in my opinion, it's about training people for an uncertain future where social networking is going to be very much part of the way that we do our work. So I think you ignore those tools at your peril, because I think they just foster a different set of skills that you don't get if you're inside a fairly closeted but very dynamic and effective environment like Illuminate. Any thoughts, Jonathan?
Thoughts about the question I got, but nothing about what you just said, because I was totally distracted.
Just testing?
Yeah, I failed. Here's how I normally would cover something like that in an online session where a distraction got me. I would go, that's a really interesting question, Michael. Frankie, how would you answer it? See, she was online, she missed it too. Yes. Do I have to answer it? Can I take the
next question? No, you don't have to. No, take the next question.
Okay, good.
We have about 5 minutes.
Okay, good. This one is about, this is a personal question about this one, I'm going to adapt the question. They were asking about my background is in an education, IT, or entertainment, but I'm going to, it's all three. I think it's in storytelling, though. I grew up in a family with a lot of storytellers, and you probably did, too. I think that's a common family trait. Some people have families that don't say a word, and others have families that you can't quiet down for a moment, which is why it's good. Storytelling happens at the table, so at least one person gets to eat while everybody else is talking. But I think this environment is really good for storytelling. And online learning is about that exactly. It's about that entirely. We have a few more minutes. There's a lot more questions and comments. But do we have any more from the room here? Frankie.
I'm just curious.
One second.
Roving mic arriving now.
I was a creator describing an online live event, saying it's probably the closest that teachers can find to what happens in a class, a real life class, but it's better. And I'm just wondering if that's been your experience as well, whether people find it difficult to get online and get into it.
Yes. I mean, it relates to the opening point about whether or not these environments are actually more effective than a face-to-face environment. And as Jonathan, I think, well demonstrated this morning, it's about the tools. That we have more tools available here. And though I'm doing it now, and apologies to those who've logged in today, because this is a kind of different situation, but if this was me at my computer, solely focused on this online group, there's a number of people here who I haven't noticed, they haven't contributed yet, and I'd make sure they did. Or I'd arrange my activities so that I could see that everybody was providing input, either through chat, by whiteboard activity, or by taking the microphone and speaking. So we could go on much longer with that question, but I still think, yes, I think it's more effective than online, than face-to-face. And what I think we kid ourselves that when we're sitting in a face-to-face environment with people that everyone's actually listening, and half the time they're not. They're looking at us, or they're writing stuff down, but, you know, they're miles away.
Yeah, okay. I think I that was why I did that demonstration for you. Michael and I didn't plan, but we really did, apparently. So I think the other thing that we didn't really touch on directly about the synchronous environment, and we're not just selling synchronous. I think we're just asking you to give it a second look. And again, talk yourself out of it, so when you do talk yourself into it, it's for a good reason. But one of the things that you can do so efficiently in the synchronous environment, as I'm looking at the projects and the showcase, is build a sense of community very efficiently. And you can use it as a launching point for all the other kinds of asynchronous and other job aids that you're creating. So when I finish a synchronous session, I try to finish it with a push for my learners to do the next step, which they have to do on their own. And I don't know about you, but when I was in grade school or even in college, I kind of needed to see my teacher or professor look at me in a way that suggested they expected something of me. I needed that motivation, and it came from face-to-face interaction. So what I'll do is I'll end with the discussion board open. I'll bring the discussion thread where there's a forum, and I'll say, I'm finishing 10 minutes early. Take those 10 minutes, and I'd like you to do your first post for this week's discussion while we're all here together. So rather than that sort of scary, I'm off on my own now that the synchronous event's over. We all take that first step together, and I find it gives a good push. There's a question right there. Oh, there.
Would you say using a more like visual type thing with a video like interface? Because I haven't seen you use actual streaming video to each other. I mean, do you use that at all?
Want to take me? Okay, so in terms of, do I use the streaming video at all?
Is that,
yeah. My advice on the video for people is use it strategically. It's not all or nothing. Most people think we're going to do video for this session, and they click the little video box, and it's somewhere on my screen, by the way. It's over here. Oh, there we go. I can bring it over there. I'll bring it back. Oh, I'll get it. But it's a strategic kind of thing. There we are. So I'll sometimes say, look, if you have a good reason to use video, like you want to show something, or it's a counseling session, you're trying to teach some advising and you want to show body language and listening skills, or there's literally nothing visual that you need to put up at that moment, go ahead, try video. But by using the video, you're asking, you know, Michael said a really important point before, that he's okay with people doing other things, and when they need to tune in, they will, and if he's doing a really good job, they'll be tuned in the whole time. When you add video to it, you're upping the ante, and you're making more work for yourself, because now you're saying to people, not only do you have to listen to me, but I'm telling you, you're supposed to be looking at me too. And then when you don't show them anything interesting, you've like thrown away some goodwill, because they're like, hey, you're wasting one piece of bandwidth, like my visual sense that I'm supposed to be. So when I do video, I want to like show something that they're going to want to look at. Yeah, sure. Not that I like feel passionately about it or anything.
One more minute. I mean, should we wrap up, Jen? I think we do need to wrap up. Jonathan, I'm not sure whether we had a quick conversation about this. I'd like to finish with one point. I think for me there is one golden rule in working in these environments, and I will actually more or less time myself. I mean, people have different opinions on this, but if I would not expect people to go more than 6 to 8 minutes without an activity which involves some sense of interaction between you and the participants and between participants. In this environment, it's crucial to engage, because if you maintain attention, it's just a lot more fun and there's better learning. So that would be my golden rule. There was one takeaway that I'd like to pass on. Jonathan, do you have any to add?
Yeah, I would say my one takeaway, and I don't know how many of you will be coming to the session tomorrow, but we'll be talking more in depth about synchronous instruction. But I would say one takeaway I have is, and it goes with what I was saying earlier today, is, you know, to the extent that you can be yourself and be human and not be frightened by this environment, I think that's the best thing you can do. So in real life, if like you're talking and you know, you're walking around as I was this morning, and you know, and you just happen to drop something while you're talking, you get nervous and you pretend it didn't happen, and then everybody's just staring at the prop that fell because they think it wasn't supposed to happen, and you get all nervous, and they're not paying any attention to what you're saying, and it's just blah, 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 blah. So you have to be human about the whole thing. Just do what you do if you were having a conversation with them. You just pick it up and you keep going. But it's true online. If you get distracted by something, and you just, I think people, it becomes very unnatural when you don't acknowledge the elephants in the room and you just start to try to be somebody else. So I would say, if and when you do this, and I hope it's when, if you haven't already, you just don't try to be somebody else. Just enjoy it.
Thanks, folks online, for being here. Really appreciate it. And thank you all here in Hobart.
Thank you, everybody online, for being here.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, online participants. Thank you, audience. And there was quite a few of us in that session. A couple more sessions to finish up the afternoon. Before I do that,